إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So in our previous lesson we spoke about the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the position of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah towards them. And so we said that we love them, we love the companions, we don't exaggerate in that love, nor do we free ourselves from them. And we hate the one who hates them and who does not mention them with goodness. And to love them is from the religion, it is deen, it is iman, it is faith, it is ihsan, it is benevolence. And to hate them is disbelief, and it is nifaq, hypocrisy, and it is tughyan, which is transgression. So we looked at some of the masail, the issues relating to that, and the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we mentioned likewise that those who split from the companions, the Rafida and the Khawarij, that their position towards them, we looked at those issues. So we're going to continue now, inshallah ta'ala, into the next point, which follows on from a discussion of the companions, and this is to do with the khilafah, the leadership after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're discussing the companions in general, and we've established our position towards them. And so now we're looking at the issue of khilafah, because the issue of khilafah, it resulted in much differing between the Muslim nation, and it led to the emergence of certain groups and sects. And so Imam al-Tahawi رحمه الله تعالى, he said, ونثبت الخلافة بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أولا لأبي بكر الصديق لأبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه تفضيلنه وتقديما على جميع الأمة ثم لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه ثم لعثمان رضي الله عنه ثم لعلي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه وهم الخلفاء الراشدون والأئمة المهديون. We established the Khilafah after the Messenger of Allah, first to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Tafdeelannahu, something that is which is he has by way of excellence. Wa taqdeeman ala jami' al-Ummah, and something that he is given priority in over all of the rest of the Ummah. Then to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, then to Uthman radiyallahu anhu, then to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, and they are the rightly guided caliphs, and al-a'immatul mahdiyun, the guided leaders. So first of all, Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, he says that when al-Tahawi, he finished discussing that which is obligatory towards the sahaba of loving them and showing loyalty to them and abandoning, hating them and disliking them, then and not to start entering to the affairs which occurred between them, he then began to start mentioning the issue of the Khilafah after the Prophet ﷺ. And this is because we see that the Prophet ﷺ, he gave precedence to Abu Bakr in leading the prayer towards the end of his life. And in this is an indication that Abu Bakr is deserving of the Khilafah. And when the Sahaba, when they gave the pledge of allegiance to Abu Bakr, they said that the Messenger of Allah was pleased for you with respect to our religion. So should we not be pleased with you for our world? The meaning here that the Messenger of Allah, he presented Abu Bakr to lead the people in the prayer. This was when he was ill and he was unable. And so the Sahaba said, when it came to giving the pledge of allegiance to Abu Bakr, they said, well, the Messenger of Allah, he gave you, he was pleased with you for you to lead us in a matter of our religion. So why should we not be pleased with you in a matter of our world? Meaning, leading them, you know, in the leadership. So the Shaykh goes on to say that therefore they gave him the pledge of allegiance. And then when Abu Bakr, also because he had many great and mighty stations, as in praiseworthy traits and stations that he had with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, both before the Hijrah and after the Hijrah. So therefore, on account of all these affairs, he is the most worthy of the people after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to take the leadership. Then after him was Umar bin al-Khattab, and he was appointed by Abu Bakr. He was appointed by Abu Bakr. Then Uthman, and he was chosen by way of the consensus, by way of the ijma' of the Sahaba, the consensus of the Sahaba. And after the killing of Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhu was chosen, and he took the leadership. And so this is the order and the arrangement of the Khilafah. And anyone who claims that the Khilafah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for Ali, then he is adal, he is misguided, he is a mukhalif, he is an opposer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the ijma' of the Muslimin, to the consensus of the Muslims. So the Shia, we see the Rafi, the Shia, they claim that Ali, it is actually Ali who was deserving. And they call him, they give him a name, they say Al-Wasi, Al-Ummah, meaning the one whom the Messenger of Allah advised with for his Ummah. And the intent behind all of this is really to create commotion, to stir tribulations between the people, because these Shia who came afterwards, they are not more sharp and intelligent and, you know, than the companions of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whereas the Shia, they say that the Sahaba were oppressive, they were wrongdoers, and every trait that's mentioned in the Quran, a negative trait that's mentioned in the Quran, what is intended by that is the Sahaba. This is what is claimed by the Rafida Shia. And so they describe them with all of these words. They say they are Zalimun, Zalimun. They say they are Kafirun. They say they are Dalun. And all of this is the reason why when the scholars came and they began to write the books of creed to establish the truth, then they textually mentioned this issue of the Khilafah in the books of creed. For this very reason, so that basically no one would be deceived, no one would be misguided by the claims of these people, because now it's become a matter of belief. So therefore the scholars, they laid down the order of the Khulafa, the four Khulafa, in this particular order: Abu Bakr, and then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'een. And they said that this is the madhab of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And this is because the Sahaba themselves, they laid down this particular arrangement. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, من خالف في أمر الخلافة فهو أضل من حمار أهله. Whoever opposed in this issue of the Khilafah, he is more astray than the domesticated donkey. He is more astray than his own donkey, which he keeps in his backyard, which he keeps in his, you know, yard. So this is a statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. Now we move on to the discussion that is started by Shaykh Saleh al-Sheikh on these issues. And so he begins by stating that after At-Tahawi mentions the issue of loving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we love all of them and we do not free ourselves from any of the Sahaba, he then comes to another great and mighty affair. So this now is from Shaykh Saleh al-Sheikh. So after discussing the issue of the Sahaba in general, At-Tahawi now brings a great and mighty affair in which we see that Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah oppose the Khawarij and the Rafida and other than them in the issue of the Khilafah, and who is more worthy of the Khilafah, and who is afdal, who is more superior. So the order that has been given by Al-Tahawi is that which has come in the texts, and it is that which the Sahaba have established. So he says, At-Tahawi, وَنُثْبِتُ الْخِلَافَةَ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So he means here that the Khilafah is affirmed by Ahlul Sunnah for Abu Bakr as opposed to others. And this is because he deserved to be the Khalifa. And he had tafdil, that he was someone who had excellence, and he was one who, out of taqdeem, meaning that he is given precedence. And this issue, as we said, it became an issue of aqidah because of the separation in the Ummah, which occurred on account of this issue of the Khilafah itself. So when this Khilafah occurred in the Ummah after the Messenger of Allah, the issue arose, who is going to lead the Muslims after him? And so immediately a difference arose between the Ansar and the Muhajirin, the Muhajirin and the Ansar. And in that time, in that short time, all of the Muslims were agreed that Abu Bakr deserves the Khilafah. So an ijma' was established that Abu Bakr is the one who is going to lead in a very, very short time. In a very short time. So there are numerous affairs that we can discuss, numerous masail that we can discuss under this. So the first mas'ala, the first issue is that the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, as we've just mentioned, is something that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are agreed upon. In fact, even others from the Khawarij, the Mu'tazila, the Ash'a'ira, the Maturidiya, the Mutakallimeen, the Ahlul Kalam in general, all of them in general are agreed upon this issue of the Khilafah. Except the Rafidah, except the Shia Rafidah, and whoever is upon their way. So the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, that he is most deserving of the Khilafah, is something that is agreed upon. But they then differed as to, okay, what is it that has led us to affirming that Abu Bakr is the rightful Khalifa? What is it? Is it that his Khilafah has been established by clear texts which are very apparent, right, which are open, jali, manifest? Or is it that the text indicated in a indirect way, in a subtle way, in a khafi, in a subtle way? Or is it that it was just because the Sahaba agreed upon Abu Bakr being the one who should be chosen? Right? So all of these groups are agreed, Ahlul Sunnah and all of these other groups that we mentioned, they're agreed upon this. But then they differ as to what is the route through which we establish this for Abu Bakr. Is it because the evidences are clear and open and manifest? Is it because there are indirect indications in the texts? Or is it because it's got nothing to do with texts? It's just purely the Muslims as a whole, they were united upon the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, and that's why we affirm it for Abu Bakr. So these three views are found, as we can see, the Sheikh goes on to mention the three statements. The first one, that Abu Bakr, by clear texts, that the Messenger of Allah, he clearly indicated the leadership of Abu Bakr, and he used many different statements and different expressions, right, both in terms of his action, both in terms of his speech as well. And so when we look at all of those things together that he said and did, it becomes very, very, very clear that the one who is to take leadership after him is going to be Abu Bakr. Right? This is the first view. So this is the first angle from which this is established in the view of those who hold this. And this is held by a great large number of people, from the people of Hadith, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, his associates, and likewise many of the Shafi'is and Ibn Hazm and many others as well. And this is the view that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he established, and he said that which is correct, what the haqiq, anna al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dalla ala khilafati Abi Bakr al-Siddiq bidalalat kathira min qawlihi wa fi'lihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that which is correct is that the Prophet ﷺ indicated the Khilafah of Abu Bakr in many different ways, in his speech, in his action. So this is the first viewpoint. The second viewpoint, or the second basis, is the view of those who said that there are indirect indications, there are subtle indications in the texts for the leadership of Abu Bakr. And this is the view of Al-Hasan Al-Basri and He was asked in his time that is the Khilafah of Abu Bakr indicated textually, by way of a text, in the Quran or the Sunnah? And he said, Abu Bakr was the most fearful of people, pious of people, and for him to take the Khilafah. So others, the people who took this view are likewise from the people of Hadith, others from the people of Hadith, and they said that this is established by indirect indications. And from those indirect indications is the fact that the Messenger of Allah, he put Abu Bakr forward to lead the prayer when he himself was ill. And the fact that, he was his longtime companion, and the fact that he has many virtues in which he is above and precedes others. All of these, they say that these are indirect indications to the leadership of Abu Bakr. And the third group, the third view, or the third angle from which this is held, is that the Sahaba, they say basically it's nothing to do with texts necessarily, but it's the fact that all of the Sahaba were agreed upon, they had ijma, they were agreed upon that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the one who is, that he's the one to take leadership. So this likewise is held also by many of the people of Hadith and a group from the Hanbalis and so on and so forth. And it is the view of the Mu'tazila, the Ash'a'ira and the Maturidi and the Ahlul Kalam in general. So the Ahlul Kalam in general are of the view that Abu Bakr is the Khalifa because of the consensus of the Sahaba. But as for that which is correct, regarding the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, is that the texts, the evidences are very, very clear. They are jali, they are apparent, they are open, they are manifest, and they indicate the leadership of Abu Bakr over all of the Sahaba. So he is most deserving of that. Now the evidences are many, they are numerous, and we'll mention some of those evidences here. So from the first of those evidences is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the most superior of the Ummah. The most superior of the Ummah after the passing of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And no one was found amongst the Sahaba who would put someone else in front of Abu Bakr. So amongst the Sahaba there wasn't found anyone who would put Abu Bakr, who would put other than Abu Bakr in front of him or ahead of him in terms of excellence and virtue. And we know that the excellence of Abu Bakr is known textually from the Quran, that Abu Bakr is the most superior. And so from the, there are numerous evidences, but from those evidences is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. This is when they were in the cave. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, when he, meaning the messenger, said, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, to his companion, do not grieve, do not grieve, for indeed Allah is with us. So here the sahib, the companion, this is clearly a reference to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And likewise, we see there are other passages in the Quran as well. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, towards the end in Surah Al-Layl, that he, the one who is pious, the one who is faithful, that he will avoid, be away from the fire. And then mentions how he gives charity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal to the end of the surah. So this is another reference to the generosity of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Right? So the Quran textually indicates the superiority of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And likewise, there are many statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. هل أنتم تاركي لي صاحبي لو اتخذت خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي أبي بكر وعمر. The numerous texts, that if I was to take a khalil, a very close intimate friend, I would take it Abu Bakr as my close intimate friend. Or follow those who come after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. There are many statements which are like this, which the Messenger of Allah made. And so in light of that, it is not known amongst the Muslims that when the Messenger of Allah, when he died and passed away, that there was anyone more superior than Abu Bakr. And so we know that this excellence and this superiority can be in different areas: excellence in knowledge, excellence in deen, excellence in piety. And also Abu Bakr was also a Qurashi, he was from the Quraysh. And so all of these things, when they come together in Abu Bakr, it shows that he is the most worthy of being the leader of the Muslims and taking the Khilafah. So basically all of the elements of taking leadership after the Messenger of Allah, we find that they are with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So here's one evidence: the fact that textually, this is stated in the Quran. Other text as well is when the Messenger, the second evidence is when the Messenger of Allah, when he was ill, in his final illness, he ordered the people to put Abu Bakr in front of them to lead the prayer. Muru Abu Bakr falyasalli bin-nas, command Abu Bakr and let him lead the people in prayer. And some of the Sahaba, they said, as we already mentioned previously, that if the Messenger of Allah was pleased with Abu Bakr for us in a matter of the religion, meaning leading us in prayer, then why should we not be pleased with him in a matter of our world, meaning to lead us like politically? This was said by the Sahaba. And so the indication being that the Messenger recommending or commanding Abu Bakr to lead in the al-imamatu sughra, meaning the minor leadership, because leading the prayer is a type of minor leadership, right? This is an indication for the greater leadership, which is al-imamatu al-uzma, meaning leading the Muslims in a political sense. So this is the second evidence, textual evidence. The third evidence is that on one occasion, the Messenger of Allah, he ordered the companions to bring a kitab, to bring something that he was going to write upon. He was going to write something. And so he said, Ya'ba al-Muslimun illa Abu Bakr, that the Muslims have refused except Abu Bakr. And when the book was actually brought, he said, bring me a book, bring me something to write on, that I may then أَحَدُ بَيْنَكُمْ أَحَدًا لَا تَخْتَلِفُوا بَعْدِ, that I write something for you on account of which you will not differ after me. So it so happened that Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, but we have with us the book of our Lord. We have already with us the book of our Lord. This was in when the Prophet was ill. Right? So from this incident, it appears that the Messenger of Allah was about to write something, and it was something to do with the Khilafah, or something to do with Wilaya, something to do with, leadership. And that he was going to write something that would specify Abu Bakr, that he was going to say that this would be, something that would indicate Abu Bakr be the leader. So the scholars, now he didn't actually go ahead and write that because of the, as occurs in the narration. And so the scholars give a number of different explanations as to why this was. And they said that he was going to write something out of mercy and compassion for his ummah, right? So that, they don't fall into any tribulations or differences thereafter. But nevertheless, this is still used as a proof, as a textual proof, because the intent of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become apparent by way of this narration. Likewise, that was the fourth, that was the third evidence. And the fourth evidence is that the Messenger, is the Prophet, he said, اِقْتَدُوا بِالَّذَيْنِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَبِي بَكَرْ وَعُمَرْ, which is, guide yourselves by those who come after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. This is very clear and very explicit. The fifth evidence is that a woman came to the Prophet for a need that she had, and he made her a promise, like a meeting on another occasion. And she said, indicating, well, if I don't find you, If I don't find you, meaning that in case you pass away, then the Messenger of Allah he said, illam tajidini fa'ata fa'ti Aba Bakrin. If you do not find me, illam tajidini fa'ati Aba Bakrin. If you do not find me, then come to Abu Bakr. So the evidences of this type are very, very many. And as you can see, they are varied as well. Leadership in the prayer, explicit command for Abu Bakr to be the leader, statements in the Quran praising his companionship and his generosity and his piety, directing people to go back to Abu Bakr in their affairs. All of these, when you put them together, are clear evidences of the leadership of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. As for the second, so these are evidences for the first view, right? Meaning that Abu Bakr's Khilafah is established by clear, explicit evidences. As for those who say that the evidences are there but they are indirect, then they basically, their view is not correct because an ishara, a subtle indication, is done by something which is very indirect. But as you can see, these texts are very, very direct. They're very apparent. There's nothing like subtle or something, you know, where you're just hinting and alluding in an indirect sense. These texts are very, very clear and very, very apparent. And as for those who say that we establish the Khilafah for Abu Bakr on the basis that the companions were agreed upon, then this is also correct. Right? This is correct because the companions, there was ijma amongst the companions. But that does not mean that this is a standalone proof in itself. Rather, this is something that we add on top of all of the explicit evidences, right? So in other words, that those who hold this view of the ijma of the companions, then their view is also weak in the sense that they discount the very clear explicit evidences which are in the Sharia. So what we say, and what the correct position is, that the texts clearly indicate the leadership of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and on top of that there is also the ijma' of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This now brings us to the second issue, and this is the issue of the Pledge of Allegiance. And we know that the Pledge of Allegiance was given to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu in the Saqifah of Bani Sa'da, in a story that is mentioned in the books of Sirah. And what happened is that the Muhajirun and the Ansar, they differed amongst themselves as to who should be the leader. And eventually the affair turned out that the Khalifa should be from the Quraysh. And because the Messenger of Allah, he said, Al-A'immatu min Quraysh, Al-Khilafatu fiikum. That the leaders are to be from the Quraysh and the Khilafah is to be amongst you, meaning in the Quraysh. So Abu Bakr was put forward on account of all of the evidences that were presented previously. And so therefore the Muslims were united upon Abu Bakr. Now from this point, what happened is that from some of the Muslims were those who immediately gave the Pledge of Allegiance to the Imam, to Abu Bakr, and this is known as the pledge which is given in word directly by giving the hand and making the Pledge of Allegiance. And this is what happened, this is what happened. And there are others who, so basically the point being here is that there are those who are the people of Ahlul Hal wal Aqd, meaning the people of authority. They give the Pledge of Allegiance. And as for everybody else, then the Pledge of Allegiance can be given either by the tongue or by just simply believing in the heart that obedience has now become necessary for them to the Khalifa. This is how. So basically the Pledge of Allegiance is given in two ways. One, by the people of authority, the people of, you know, the elite people, the people of knowledge, understanding, insight, and so on and so forth. They give the Pledge of Allegiance to the ruler. And their pledge of allegiance is something that is sufficient for everybody else. And as for everybody else, all they need to do is simply to say, I give you the pledge of allegiance. He doesn't have to go to the ruler. Or in his heart, he simply believes that it has become necessary upon him to obey the ruler. Right? That he now has iltizam in his heart to make ta'ah. And this is his pledge of allegiance. This is how the pledge of allegiance is given from him. Now, there were some of the companions like Ali, radiallahu anhu, they were not able, or they did not give the pledge of allegiance to Abu Bakr for a period of time. It is said maybe it was 6 months, and maybe it was 3 months, maybe it was less or more. And so because of this, some doubts and shubuhat have been raised by the Rafida, obviously, that maybe they were not happy with the leadership of Abu Bakr and they had a contention. And this is incorrect. And, companions like Ali and Talha bin Ubaidillah and others. So to respond to this, there are a number of answers as to why there was this delay. And a delay in itself does not mean that the leadership of Abu Bakr itself was invalid. Rather, there are reasons for that delay. So from those reasons is that Ali, number one, Ali and Talha, they did not consider themselves to be from the people of Ahl al-Hall wal-Aqd, meaning the people of influence and authority. They didn't see themselves to be at that level where they would go and give the Pledge of Allegiance to Abu Bakr directly. They didn't see themselves in that particular way, so therefore they did not hasten to go and give the bay'ah with the hand, with the taking of the hand and giving the Pledge of Allegiance. This is the first reason. And so this is treated like anywhere where the Pledge of Allegiance of the people of authority was sufficient for them, and that they would give it whenever they met, the opportunity came to meet Abu Bakr. The second reason is that Ali radiallahu anhu was, according to a narration, that he was watching, overlooking the condition of Fatima radiallahu anha, because she was, perhaps in a matter in relation to some affairs that were peculiar to her, and because he was occupied in looking after the affair of Fatima, then this caused a delay in him giving the pledge of allegiance to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And so this is like a second reason given in relation to Ali. And the third reason is that even if delay takes place, then this in itself is no argument for the Khilafah of Abu Bakr to be, for doubts to be cast upon it, because a delay has no influence upon the ijma'. It doesn't affect the ijma' of the companions that Abu Bakr should in fact be the Khalifa. And so when the bay'ah, which is wajibah, the obligatory pledge of allegiance has already been given, then by the people of influence and on authority, then nothing really can come and cast a doubt or aspersion upon this pledge of allegiance, even if it is the delay of some of the Sahaba in giving the pledge of allegiance. So therefore, anyone who says that Ali and Talha and others, they were not pleased with the Khilafah, right, and that they only gave the Pledge of Allegiance because they wanted to compromise, because everybody else had already given the Pledge of Allegiance, so they felt, pressured to give the Pledge of Allegiance, and that Ali was most deserving of it. All of this is the statement of the people of Rafd, the people of the Rafida, the Shia, the people who reject Abu Bakr and Umar. And it is from the evil, nasty, filthy innovations. And none of these views or these statements are actually established from any of the companions to begin with, aslan. And, none of them we know would put himself forward. Ali wouldn't put himself forward ahead of Abu Bakr, nor any of the companions. We know this to be false. So these arguments are known to be false, therefore. So from that we establish then that there is no difference whatsoever in the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. It is a matter that is actually agreed upon. So we'll conclude with that amount here in this lesson, and inshallah ta'ala we'll continue with the rest in the lesson that follows. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.